Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Get ready.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Ready.
We're ready.
I'm ready. 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 Ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready.
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes.
All
right.
This is St. Louis's News Radio, and this is Overtime.
Okay, I'm ready.
From Russia with love.
Very nice.
Oh, hello, John Hancock.
Top of the morning. How are you?
I'm good. Michael Kelly.
Hey, good Friday morning.
Good Friday morning.
Weekend.
Oh, I am excited to see the sun.
Yeah, right?
I don't even care that it's 19. Of course, it's going to be nicer later today. So just hang on, ladies and gentlemen. We'll hit 45. That'll feel amazing. Tomorrow, even nicer. Okay, let's start with Russia. Intelligence officials warning House lawmakers last week that Russia was interfering in the 2020 campaign to try to get President Trump reelected, a disclosure to Congress that angered Trump, who complained that Democrats would use it against him. During the briefing to the House Intelligence Committee, Trump's allies challenged the conclusions, arguing that he had been tough on Russia and that he had strengthened European security. Earlier this month, acting FBI Director Christopher Wray said Russia was still meddling in our elections.
We certainly are seeing, and have never stopped seeing really since 2016, efforts to engage in malign foreign influence by the Russians.
All right, Michael Kelly, how long before Christopher Wray is replaced? No, wait, that's not the question. Are you concerned about Russian meddling?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, this is nothing new. I'm more concerned that we have a president that's trying to deny that it's happening. And is willing to fire national security intelligence people to try to keep it from being disclosed. I don't know what we're doing here, that we're just allowing this president to allow a foreign government to coordinate, or not coordinate, but to participate in our elections. I mean, it stands against the principles we're for, and then he makes this most recent firing. It's, I don't know. I don't understand what we're doing. Do you, Hancock?
I'm very concerned about Russian meddling in our elections, and I hope that our CIA and our intelligence assets are working hard to prevent it, and I do think there are a lot of very good professionals in the intelligence community, particularly the CIA, and but this is a bad optic for the president, the firing the DNI and bringing in somebody to be the DNI that doesn't have really any intelligence experience. It's not a good look.
And admittedly firing him because he went and did his job, which is to tell Congress what was going on.
Yeah, well, the president didn't say that's why he fired him, but it's pretty clear that that's what happened.
People are talking.
And, it's regrettable, and we should be forcefully trying to put an end to Russian involvement in our elections. I mean, that's something that everybody should agree on.
I don't know if there's going to be agreement when it comes to topics at the Democratic Convention, which is coming up in Milwaukee. By the way, they are debating a bill in the Wisconsin legislature to allow the bars in Milwaukee to stay open until 4 a.m. The bars are almost always open in Wisconsin, I'll just tell you that much. But former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said yesterday that Senator Bernie Sanders or any presidential candidate should not get the Democratic nomination if they end the primary process in first place but are shy of the requisite majority of delegates. He was dismissing suggestions from Sanders and his supporters that he should become the nominee if he finishes with a plurality lead ahead of the rest of the candidates, but still short of the 1,991 needed to secure the nomination outright. Do you agree with Harry Reid or Sanders?
Harry Reid, which, you know, it's kind of weird. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's looking increasingly like nobody's going to get a majority of the delegates because all of the Democratic primaries and caucuses are proportional distribution of delegates. There's no winner-take-all states. So if you have three viable candidates splitting up those votes from here on out, they're going to get to the convention and nobody's going to have a majority. And when you get to the second ballot, all of these superdelegates now factor in, hundreds of elected officials all across the country. The Democrats, if Bernie doesn't get it done through the primary and caucus season, I can't see that convention nominee.
And what's ironic is the rules here were changed this way for Bernie Sanders. Then at the debate the other night, he says, no, the process should end with whoever has the most delegates. Well, in 2016, he had a problem with that with Hillary Clinton. In terms of us going to a convention without a nominee, this is not unprecedented. This is how conventions used to go. And I actually think that's exactly what we're going to see. You're going to have the smoke-filled rooms without the smoke going and negotiating to find the nominee for the Democratic Party because nobody, unless something dramatic happens here, nobody is going to reach a majority to receive the nomination. Which is interesting to me that they want to keep the bars open until 4 o'clock in Milwaukee. I think back what I learned in history about 1968 in Chicago. I think the last thing you want is a bunch of drunken idiots or drunken Democrats on the streets of Milwaukee.
Anyone know what the last brokered convention was? Anyone? My Hill?
Mm-mm.
1952.
Wow.
Republican National Convention. Bob Taft. The very isolationist senator from Ohio was trying to get the nomination, and Dwight Eisenhower muscled him out.
Well, how about that?
Yeah. 1952, I remember it well.
Yes. And these rules, I mean, it's important to understand the rules that from the proportionate to the whatever were all changes that were made per Bernie Sanders, which I thought was ridiculous. The guy's not even a Democrat. Why are we adjusting our party for him? But now he doesn't want to live under the rules that he advocated for.
Well, before we have to go to traffic, we've got about a minute here, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on the debate that took place in Las Vegas the other day. Bernie Sanders was certainly very loud. Personally, I thought the night went to Elizabeth Warren, who she was loaded for bear. Any thoughts on whether she can keep
Elizabeth
that momentum?
Warren did well. It's too little, too late. Not winning New Hampshire is a real problem for Elizabeth Warren. I think this race is down to Bernie Sanders, for one, Mike Bloomberg, who's clearly doing an effort to buy his way in, and one of the three centrists, call it Joe Biden, Amy Klobuchar, Pete Buttigieg. That's why I thought you kind of saw Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar going at each other. They're trying to fight for that group. And, you know, but Joe Biden's got it all riding on the next 2 weeks. He doesn't walk out of Nevada with a second place or a first place finish, and he doesn't win South Carolina. Joe's going back to retirement.
And, John, do you think that Bloomberg's money can still overcome his performance
this week? We'll find out, won't we? That was pretty pitiful. Now, he's not competing in Nevada or South Carolina, but he will be on the debate stage in South Carolina. He can't afford another one of those performances, in my opinion.
Well, he can't afford it. He's got the money.
Yeah.
Just don't know what public opinion will say. KMOX News Time, 8:43. Let's talk about a couple of local, or at least state, issues here. Hancock, Kelly, and Monterey on this sunny Friday morning. Missouri lawmakers are talking about a bill about carjacking. Obviously, we've seen a lot of armed carjackings, not just in the St. Louis area, but all over the state, and driven in part, I think, by the difficulty in hotwiring a car these days. You got to steal one while somebody's in it. Anyway, this bill has advanced, a move praised by some as a way to combat the uptick in violent crime. It would make carjacking a felony punishable by 5 to 15 years in prison. The crime would be punishable by 10 to 30 years or life if the carjacker causes serious injury, is armed with a real or fake weapon, or takes a vehicle that has a child in it. Do you support this bill? John Hancock?
Absolutely, 100%. Yes, I do.
Absolutely. Well, I can't believe it's not a felony already. I'm glad they're doing this. This is common sense.
Of course, that means if they get caught, we now have to prosecute them. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, also, though, a lot of these carjackings are done by 15, 16-year-olds.
Lock them up.
You're okay with a 15-year-old getting sent away for life?
Lock them up.
If a 15-year-old is going to carjack somebody and take their car, that's just the start of an even larger crime problem with this young individual.
Lock them up.
All right. Missouri Senator David Sater pushing a bill that would allow employers to test employees and prospective employees for medical marijuana. If passed, the bill would also let employers prohibit the use of medical marijuana at their businesses. Michael Kelly, if it is legal by state law, should employers have the right to decide who gets to use medical marijuana?
Potentially. It's legal to drink, but you can't be drunk on the job. Look, the feds got to weigh in on this. First of all, we need to legalize pot nationwide and then start to put some regulatory issues in here so these workplace issues don't pop up. But if a construction worker or a lot of people show up on the job intoxicated, that's a terminable offense. If you show up on a job high, you probably should be terminated.
Lock them up. Yeah.
Lock them up. We're doing something legal?
Lock them up. Yes, the employer has a right to have their employees not be stoned out of their mind when they're out there conducting their business. The employer has every right to do this.
I'll see you guys later.
But what if, I don't know that we're necessarily talking about people being stoned at work. We're talking about, say, you're at home on your own time using legal medical marijuana. And then you get tested later when you're not stoned and it comes up positive and then you're fired.
That's why we need the feds to weigh in here, because it's so different from state to state. And, you know, marijuana is a different test than alcoholism. Alcohol gets through the system. You can smoke dope tonight and it will still be in your system 3 weeks from now. Or are you high 3 weeks from now? No. So we need regulation. We need the feds to step in and get some universal rulings here. And then that will all flush out in the wash.
All right. We don't like regulation, though.
Yeah, but
regulation is bad.
That's something that the Republicans have demonized. Unless it's a woman's reproductive rights, then we want to get all over it.
Well, Dr. Carol Baskin, who is the director of communicable disease control services for St. Louis County's Health Department, she says, you know, we have been focusing so much on coronavirus. Coronavirus is in the news every day. It is affecting the economy. There are huge cities in China that are virtual ghost towns where it doesn't even look like anyone lives there anymore. It's no doubt having an impact on goods and services. People are freaking out about it, but it's killed. Has it even killed 1,000 people yet worldwide?
Well, that's what China's saying, but who knows if they're telling the truth.
Right, that's true. But she says that the virus does not present a public health risk here at this time. People should be more concerned about the flu, which kills more than 10,000 people in this country. Right, do you think she has a point?
Well, sure, but we all are aware of the flu. We spend a lot of time talking about flu shots. Doctors are prepared to deal with the flu. Of course, something that pops up out of the middle of nowhere that we have really no ability to treat that we're aware of is going to get attention. And so I think she's doing well to capitalize on the opportunity to remind people about the flu, but people are aware of the flu.
Yeah, I think she's right. The coronavirus, you know, there's nobody walking around town with it here. Right?
There's a couple of folks that were on a boat that was over in Asia that are now quarantined.
Right.
So, in the society we live in, it's so easy to pass things and have folks come into town.
But she's right. The flu is a killer. I don't think sometimes we have an appreciation for that so much, but it's a killer.
We need to take a break. When we come back, it'll be round three of OT. KMOX News Time is 8:48. It's 8:53. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Michael Kelly and John Hancock. Well, most Americans, you guys, consider themselves to be great tippers. But as you can imagine, many fail to actually put their money where their mouth is. According to a new survey, there was a tipping gap revealed in the latest financial etiquette survey by TD Ameritrade, which just got bought out, didn't they, by
somebody.
Can't keep track of these things anymore. Four people in five of those surveyed gave themselves top ratings for tipping widely and generously. But just 54% said they tipped food delivery drivers like pizza guys. Barely one in three leave a tip for parking attendants or for the staff who clean their hotel rooms. Huh. Do you consider yourself, I bet Michael Kelly's a good tipper.
Oh, he's the best.
I am, there is no slur you could throw at me worse than calling me cheap. And I hate that concept. I am an over tipper. I tip everything. I tip hotel rooms. I tip everywhere. Part of that is having done a service job. I think that you have a different appreciation for people who are working for tips if you've had a job like that. I hope this isn't the case because we're all trying to make a living. And if you're not tipping and taking care of the people in an appropriate way who take care of you, well, then you're cheap.
Yeah, shame on you. I got an interesting one. You know who I tipped yesterday?
Who?
The trash guy.
Really?
Yeah, he came up, and there's my Christmas tree sitting out there. And
mine's still out there, too.
The plastic one, I mean. Oh. And they take everything, these guys. And he's putting this tree in. And I ran a $20 bill out to him.
He was
very happy. But they take everything. God bless them.
I never see my trash guy because we have dumpsters in the alley.
Right.
They just come back a one-man show in a truck. Dumps that dumpster and off he goes.
There you go.
I'm surprised that a lot of people I have discovered don't leave a tip for the person who cleans their hotel room.
I'll do
so
it.
I was
time.
Traveling with my sister who travels a lot and I go, are you going to leave a tip for the housekeeper? She's like, no, I never do. Are you supposed to? I'm like, yes, because we're pigs. Look at this room. She
right.
has to. Oh, like, you, what do you think? She's making 30 bucks an hour?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that scared me for a minute. Here comes the band coming through Studio B. Mardi Gras is this weekend. Of course, it's tomorrow in Soulard. I don't know if it's official, but we like to say it is the second largest Mardi Gras celebration in the country after New Orleans. I haven't been down to Mardi Gras, honestly, in about 12 years. John Hancock, do you go?
I have never gone.
Never?
Never gone.
Never ever?
Never ever gone.
All right, Michael
this
Kelly
This will be the
goes.
First time in 15 years I'm not going. I will not be there this year, but I go every year. My friend Brian Wabi and a frequent guest here on KMOX started the modern-day Mardi Gras celebration that takes place in Soulard. It's a special thing. It pays tribute to our heritage and our roots. I've experienced all kinds of weather down there. Nothing like we're going to. Well, I take that back. There was one year it was like 70 degrees.
Wow.
But this year, what they're talking about, 53 degrees. It's going to be special. People ought to get out. That's a cool, cool neighborhood, too.
It really is a beautiful neighborhood.
And be respectful of the neighborhood. You know, people...
Don't pee on people's lawns.
Yeah, don't pee on people's
that's
lawns.
Not advisable.
They've done a good job, the Mardi Gras Committee and Mardi Gras Inc. and Tim Larson, to make sure there's plenty of bathrooms everywhere. There's plenty of opportunities. Don't drink and drive. They've set up an Uber place for you, a cab place for you. It's awesome.
All right. Well, if you're going to be joining the festivities, just be safe and courteous. And here's what's on tap.
Well, we're going to visit with Steve Shiger, see what's going on in Washington, D.C., and Mike Claiborne from Jupiter, Florida, coming your way right here on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.